No matter how imprisoned that child is by their autism, and no matter how buried deeply within them is some ability, is what I call an island of intactness. And our job in trying to deal with a child with autism is to find that island of intactness, celebrate it, love it, congratulate it, nurture it, and let it come to its full bloom and potential. And that's what I've seen happen in savants that I followed for many years. And this became more apparent to me with the so-called acquired savant. Most of the savants that I had met early in my career were children whose autism was there and their ability showed up as a child and went on to adulthood. But then about 20 years ago, or I guess 15 years ago, I began to encounter cases of individuals, ordinary people, who had a head injury or a stroke or a dementia. And as that process left them with some impairment, there was an instant musical ability, art ability, or mechanical ability. And it just surfaced unexpectedly. There's a case of Derek Amato who dove into a swimming pool, had a concussion, recovered, and was drawn to the piano, which he had never played before, and sat down and played the piano for 3 or 4 hours, and which he had never done before. Orlando Sorrell is a 10-year-old boy who got hit in the head by a baseball, and after that began to calculate, but also now remembers what happened on each day of his life, and can tell you what happened, what he had for supper on July 4th, 2012 or whatever. And other cases of the acquired savant. We're not all little Mozarts or Picassos, but we do have abilities that are dormant. And this injury taps that. That raises so many questions. First of all, how does that dormant potential get there? And more importantly, in the search I'm on now, are there ways to tap that without having a head injury or without having some kind of a central nervous system incident? And I believe that that there are. For example, there's a condition called the Einstein syndrome, in which children who speak late are turn out to be really extremely bright. We have a little guy that I'm working with now. He's 4 years old. He came to us and was not speaking. And after 6 months or so began to speak. And is he ever speaking now? He has the planets memorized, the whole solar system memorized. He has names of shapes that I've never heard of. Is able to do calculations with numbers of digits. There's another Einstein patient who I think he's 18 years old. He's getting his PhD in quantum physics theory and is involved with several of the really famous quantum theory institutes, and they're convinced that he is going to take them farther than they've ever been. But it started with this late speaking. Einstein himself didn't speak until he was about 4 years old. That's why it's called the Einstein Center. I once had a little boy at Winnebago in my children's unit, who was by the name of Jimmy. And one day I said to Jimmy, "How come you had to come here?" And he said, "Because I had a nervous breakdown." And I said, "Jimmy, what's a nervous breakdown?" And he said, "A nervous breakdown is when nobody loves you." And so in our treatment programs, with whatever science we're using, love is such an important part of that. Maybe it's more mind than brain, I don't know. But I don't care where it is. It's a powerful force. And that has really been what keeps me going at this point. I should really be retired, and I should be out in my orchard more than I am, perhaps. But it is that the interaction with these, we had an open house Monday night after our conference and displaying the art of some of the kids that we're treating in the center. And it was just a magnificent, met some really magnificent people, the parents of these youngsters and the pride that they have, the concern, the fear that they have, and I'm trying to allay some of that fearfulness in them about outcome and remain optimistic. Because the longer I work in this field, the more optimistic I am about all of us.